Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Nicole Roberts, engagement editor at the News Tribune. Nicole also writes stories about trends and issues in our business community, as well as a weekly column called BizBeat that details businesses that are opening, closing, or modifying their operations. Hello, Nicole.
Hi.
For Sunday's paper, Nicole's working on a story about how local small businesses are coping with the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. Back in mid-March, much of the business community was shut down due to stay-at-home orders that required non-essential businesses to close their doors or dramatically alter the way they did business so that it minimized contact with the public. For those shops, their businesses literally slowed to a trickle. So, Nicole, when you talked with these businesses back in mid-March, what was the mood, and explain how they were affected by these stay-at-home orders?
Yeah, so when I talked to probably about 5, 6, 7 businesses back in mid-March or late March, it was right before the Cole County order, stay-at-home order went into effect. It was honestly very gloomy, to be honest. Yeah. When I talked to places like initially yours, Schaefer House, businesses like that, they were honestly terrified about what the impact was going to be because of the coronavirus. I mean, at that point, they weren't necessarily shut down, but they were limiting the number of people that could come into the shop. People at that point were scared to even go out, so people weren't even going and visiting those stores. People were using more curbside, which was helping, but it still wasn't offsetting the cost to keep the business open, to pay the bills. So at that point, I feel like a lot of businesses were scared of the unknown. They weren't sure, are they going to have enough money to not only pay their employees, but to just pay the regular bills of the electricity, water, mortgage, or rent. So it was definitely a scary time for a lot of local businesses.
What did the order do? I mean, bring us back. It was 2 months ago. So it defined essential businesses and non-essential businesses. And so for much of the small business community, they were non-essential. Mm-hmm. So what, as a non-essential business, what did that mean as far as their operations?
So for some non-essential businesses, they were able to, they couldn't allow people inside the stores, but they were doing like curbside, very contactless curbside pickup. So some businesses did go that route and were able to make some money, but a lot of businesses just stayed closed because it wasn't worth employing or paying somebody to be at the store when they're only getting one, maybe two curbside pickup orders during that time. And at that time, people were told to only go to essential businesses, so like grocery stores, and I know some pet stores were still open, doctor's offices, that type of thing. People were still going there, but for the non-essential businesses like clothing stores or things along those lines, people were hesitant to go because not only did the order tell them or advise them not to go, but they also didn't really want to leave their houses. So
right. So, Nicole, we've been in this about 2 months since mid-March at the time of this podcast here. What have you seen businesses trying to do to restore some sort of normalcy to their business? I mean, it's a very abnormal time right now since they just can't open their doors. So what are some of the steps that they've taken to try to bridge the distance with their customers?
A lot. And some businesses have taken some really unique outlets to still engage with their customers, even though their customers can't necessarily get into the business. So when I was talking to like Schaefer House, they would do FaceTime appointments. So they would like have customers FaceTime them and they would actually like show them products.
Walk them around the store and say,
Be like, here you go. This is what we have. I mean, I had a lot of businesses, like too many to count, that was really pushing social media. So they would do things like posting products that they have on social media. So like I know Maddie Grace Boutique, they were doing sales online through Facebook, showing some of their new inventory. I know Barber's Boutique out kind of a little bit more on the east side, I think a little bit out of Jeff City's limits. They were also pushing hard on Facebook. So social media was a really big tool for a lot of businesses. But then along with that, some businesses still wanted to have that customer interaction before the stay-at-home order. So they would do it by appointment only. So they were pretty much encouraging customers, call us if you really want to come see this product and we will make sure that the store is safe for you to come in. I know Anna Marie's was doing that at a point. So that was happening. But then a lot of people were really taking advantage of the curbside pickup and delivery. It became really easy whenever some businesses decided to use this time to create a website. So I know South Bank here in downtown Jeff City, they created a website for this. They were initially going to have the website regardless of the coronavirus, mm-hmm. but this kind of spurred them a little bit sure. to get it out quicker. And from what I've heard, it's been working really well for them. For J Street Vintage, they don't have a website, but they've been using Facebook online auctions, and they have done really well with those, okay. which will be in my BizBeat on Sunday.
Oh, there's a little plug for BizBeat there. Well, you say that it's working out well for them, but I mean, let's be realistic. These small businesses have taken a big hit here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've inflicted, or there have been sizable losses felt in this last couple months. Do you have a sense of how bad it has been for them?
Yes, small businesses, they have lost a lot of revenue because of the coronavirus. I mean, Samuel's Tuxedos in downtown, the owner, Sam Bushman, said that he might have lost about $250,000 in revenue because of the proms and the weddings that were rescheduled or were just canceled.
Right.
So he lost a lot of that revenue. We have Amy Bees, who she estimated that she probably lost about $40,000 because she wasn't able to be open for really the big planting season this spring. Yeah. A lot of places were going to box stores instead of shopping local. So there is a very large financial impact, and yeah. they're using financial help like the payroll protection program and the small business administration, their loans. But again, with that, going compared to what I heard in mid-March when I was talking to businesses yesterday, the attitude was a lot more optimistic than what it was back in March.
Yeah.
In March, it was, like I said, very gloomy. But when I was talking to businesses yesterday, they were saying how, yes, they don't have as many customers now compared to what they probably would have had if the coronavirus pandemic wasn't happening. But they were starting to see kind of a little bit more in sales than what they had over the last month. And it was just kind of, it was more optimistic from what I was hearing. They had a little bit more cheerier outlook. That's not to diminish the fact that they are struggling. Small businesses are struggling.
Yeah.
But compared to what I was hearing back in mid-March, it was a little more uplifting to hear the positive attitudes.
Yeah. So let's go back to earlier this week on May 4th, the state stay-at-home order was lifted.
Mm-hmm.
And Some the businesses were allowed to reopen with some restrictions on them. So kind of walk through what those restrictions are, what the current setup is for businesses.
Yeah, so the businesses that did reopen on Monday, or even some of the businesses that reopened when the Cole County order expired on April 25th, I believe, they are still adhering to the 6-foot social distancing rule. So for some businesses, that means they can only have maybe a few people in the store. I know some businesses have been saying that they will still adhere to only allowing 10 people within the business. I've heard some people say that they are going to follow the 25% occupancy rule. So some businesses are doing different things in terms of trying to make sure there aren't a ton of people within a business and to adhere to that 6-foot distance. Other businesses like Schaefer House, they have actually put like little arrows on the floor to direct traffic. Mm-hmm. They are also limiting the number of people within each room. I want to say it was only like 3 people in each room. Mm-hmm. Other businesses that are kind of a little larger and have wide open area, like in the Groove Records, they just encourage customers to watch where the other customers are and make sure that you are a safe distance away. A lot of businesses are encouraging customers to wear masks, but I believe out of all the businesses I've talked to so far, I think Amy B's is the only one that's really requiring it. A lot of business owners have said they are encouraging it, but they're not going to mandate it. They want customers to feel comfortable with whatever they feel would protect them. Then a lot of businesses are still doing like the hand sanitizers, offering that. They're doing more cleaning, I feel like. So I joked with Sam Bushman over at Sam's Tuxedos because he said that his store probably smells like bleach and Lysol. And I told him that's probably going to be the new Febreze scent for the foreseeable future. So those are pretty much a lot of the precautions that I'm seeing, just in making sure that you don't have large crowds of people in one area and making sure that all the products are clean and all the counters, the doorknobs, that type of thing.
Yeah. So when you talk about large crowds, I think back to our Tuesday paper where we had photos of folks at a local barbershop that were standing in line, you know, 6 feet apart out on the sidewalk to get in, to get their hair cut. Is that what's going on at other stores as well? You know, these Amy B's, initially yours, others, where there has been a pent-up desire to get to this business, and now folks are showing up on the doorstep.
All the businesses I talked to, they didn't necessarily have long lines like extending out the doorway, people really eager to get in. I didn't necessarily see that when I talked to a lot of the businesses. From what I was hearing, it was on Monday. Monday was an okay business day for them. I feel like some people were still a little scared to get out. Mm-hmm. So the people that were out on Monday and visiting these stores, they were very determined on what type of product they were trying to get, whether it's like a Mother's Day gift or they know that one of those rescheduled weddings is coming up and they need to get a wedding gift.
Right.
So they didn't see a lot of people just out casually cruising through the stores, just looking at stuff. Most people had a pretty specific thing in mind.
Yeah.
But as the week went on, it sounds like there are more and more customers that are kind of venturing out of their homes and visiting these stores and just wanting to browse a little.
Yeah. See, Nicole, that's how I shop. I don't like to browse when I shop. I'm a targeted shopper there. You go in, you get what you want, you get out.
See, I feel like sometimes I'm like that, but other times, like if I'm in a clothing store, I'll go in, I'll say, I need to get this one thing, but then I'll see something else, and I'm like, let me just venture. It's the girl in me.
Oh, man. All right, so let's move on then. But the issue is, honestly, there needs to be this pent-up demand. There needs to be more foot traffic in these stores for them to dig themselves out of this hole, let's be honest. I mean, they have a hole that you mentioned earlier that they're trying to overcome this year. What's the level of optimism on the part of businesses? Do they think they can do it?
I feel like businesses think that they can maybe stay afloat, but from what I'm hearing, I don't think they're as optimistic to think that they're actually going to make back all the revenue they've lost. Maybe some businesses will. I mean, J Street Vintage, they, from what I've heard, they actually beat their worst months. So January, February is usually their worst months, in March and April, they actually surpassed those sales. Mm. So there's some businesses that I feel like would be able to dig themselves out of that hole. But I think a lot of businesses, they just really want to lessen that gap, I think. So instead of them being in the hole $100,000, they only want to be in the hole $20,000, things like that.
Right.
I mean, it's
realistic. Yeah, you want to be realistic.
Yeah. If they could dig themselves out of the hole completely and not be in the red, that'd be great. But it's probably going to be a while before that happens, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, and let's be honest, they need help. They're going to need help. And so that goes back to what you were mentioning earlier, this idea of local, shopping small. So what are some of the efforts that these local businesses are doing that maybe really highlight that local shop local approach?
Yeah, so kind of going back to what I was talking about with social media, a lot of businesses are not only promoting their products and encouraging people to shop local that way, but I've also heard some other businesses, or I've seen other businesses, that are promoting each other. So there's been a couple times I've seen maybe some small businesses that are struggling, but they also know that, oh, I have another store that I'm friends with, and I know they're struggling too. I'm going to kind of give them maybe a little promotion on my website. So one of those small businesses helping small businesses,
yeah.
And that's encouraging. And then you have organizations like the Convention and Visitors Bureau. They did the hashtag LoveJC, but they sold t-shirts, and people who bought those t-shirts could say, I want a certain amount of this proceed to go to this local business. And they were able to raise quite a bit of funds for those local businesses, which I think helped a lot.
Yeah.
I know the Chamber of Commerce is also trying to find ways to help businesses. They're going to be doing a Zoom session here soon, I think, to kind of get the small businesses together and find out ways that they can help each other, where some things that maybe this business is doing that this other business could maybe emulate. Mm. It's a lot of just sharing resources.
And with a hat tip to my general manager, I will say, commercial coming on here, that the News Tribune also is offering a variety of advertising products to really help businesses get back on their feet and to connect again with their customers. So, again, I pass that along because I'm sure David would want me to share that with you. So, as I mentioned at the top of the podcast, one of Nicole's many responsibilities is BizBeat. It's a weekly column mm-hmm. that she produces. So, Nicole, share a bit about what BizBeat is, how readers and businesses can get the word out about what's going on in the business community.
Yeah, so BizBeat, the traditional BizBeat, I have to emphasize traditional BizBeat.
Okay.
So traditional BizBeat usually means I will feature businesses in the community that are new, closing, renovating, changing ownership, things along those lines. That's more the traditional BizBeat. Because of the coronavirus, a lot of businesses that would be opening right now have pushed off their opening date because of the uncertainty with the coronavirus. So because of that, I did a little bit of a twist on BizBeat. So I also do a BizBeat where I feature businesses that are doing unique things to weather the coronavirus pandemic. So I mentioned J Street Vintage. Sorry to keep going back to them, but they're my most recent ones. So
sure.
I'm going to be featuring them in their online auctions that have really helped them. I featured Capital Arts. They were doing a online, or I guess Facebook, art gallery to trying to engage with customers and just the community in general. So that's a different aspect of BizBeat mm-hmm. that I'm doing. But if people do have ideas for what can go in BizBeat, they can email me directly at Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, at newstribune.com. They can also email the BizBeat line, which is BizBeat, so B-I-Z-B-E-A-T, at newstribune.com.
And as parting words, I'll just share again with you, we're all in a very difficult situation this time, all depending upon each other. And part of being a member of this community is to support the community. So I would encourage you to get out there and as you feel safe doing so, but shop local. Your friends, your neighbors depend upon your business to help keep them in business. All right. Well, Nicole, thank you very much for joining us today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.